Hello, everybody, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, going solo today. I don't know where that rat partner of mine, Eb Wilkinson, is, but we're coming to you live from the luxurious Corazon Cabinet Studios located in the KVOI Broadcast Complex, very, very modern place here in Tucson, Arizona, welcoming you to a crime-free Tucson edition of Inside Track. Our special guest, Tucson Crime Free Coalition co-chair Josh Jacobson, will join us in a moment. Phil Kirpin from American Commitment will stop by in our final segment and talk about dirty deficits. Producer Tom also joins us running the board, taking your calls. We invite your questions or comments for our guests at 520-790-2040, which are relevant to the topic. I am very, very much wanting to remind you to support our great sponsors, Tucson Iron and Metal Retail. Call Jamie at 209-1576. She has loads and loads of great steel products at super low prices for your home, office, or ranch. Drop by the yard, which is open Monday through Fridays, 8 to 4:30, and Saturdays, 8 to 1. Corazon Cabinets, Joy and Alley. If you call them at 488-2266, it's a real easy number to remember. They feature design luxury cabinets for your kitchen and bath areas at a price you'll love. Tell them Eb and Bruce sent you for additional discounts. At Essential Pest Control, call Eric at 886-3029. His professional team uses science to keep you safe from bugs, termites, varmints, and even weeds. Also supporting Inside Track is my very, very absent co-host, the aforementioned Mr. Eb Wilkinson from Wilkinson Wealth Management. Eb is dedicated to help you retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call Eb at 777-1911. Now, did I tell you that Eb is seeking election to the National NRA Board? He is. Voting ends very soon. Yank your American Rifleman magazine from the lamp table and vote for Eb, even though he didn't show up here today. Don't forget that Eb and I support all of our great locally owned, family-run businesses who support Inside Track, and so should you. Okay, let's get right to our guest, local crime fighter. Has anybody ever called you a crime fighter before?
Not specifically, I don't think, Bruce.
Maybe a chicken plucker or something, yeah. but never a crime fighter. Okay.
Yeah.
Local crime fighter and food maker, Josh Jacobson from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Greetings, Josh.
Hey, Bruce. You know, I got to think, with as nice as today is, Eb just might be out taking part in some shooting sports. That's what days like today make
Whatever.
Me want to do.
Don't appease him, okay? He's in Dutch with me. But it's great to have you here. This is your first time on Inside Track. Now,
it is.
If this was Wake Up Tucson, which I guest hosted on yesterday, he would ask you where your favorite local restaurants are. Okay, so I'm going to turn the tables, okay?
All right.
There is no better place. I know that you're familiar with this place I'm going to talk about, but there's no better place to get fried foods other than that place we all of us Tucsonans lovingly refer to as The Bone.
The Bone, yes. Well, thank you for that, Bruce.
And I have nephews who went to school here after leaving here. When they do come back for a visit, the first place they go is The Bone.
Awesome. And, love to hear that.
Anyway, it's a great, great tradition, and that's what Josh's family is involved with. So, look, crime in Tucson's out of control. Tell the listeners what the mission of the Tucson Crime Free Coalition is, and why is this group going to be important to the reduction of crime here in Tucson and Southern Arizona?
Okay, great. Well, jumping into it, just a little bit of history to start off with. The Tucson Crime Free Coalition was formally created last September. Kevin Daly, Monica Carlson.
September of 22 or 21?
22. Okay. Last year, September of 22. So we've been around for roughly 7 months. Kevin Daly, Monica Carlson, they're the other steering leaders, and then myself. And really, we started the Tucson Crime Free Coalition due to the lack of involvement in regards to solutions when it comes down to the fentanyl and crime crisis that we're seeing on our streets. So in the last 7 months, the coalition has grown to just over 3,000 members. We are nonpartisan. We're totally grassroots. We have no budget. We, the other steering leaders and I, we do this for a volunteership, say. So don't worry, for any of the listeners, I'm not here to pitch or ask for money today while we're talking
about
this.
So that's pretty unusual, being what you are. So yep. Why don't you need money?
Well, we are going to potentially morph into the next phase of what the Tucson Crime Free Coalition is going to be. And that potentially could be becoming a C4 or C3 or even getting involved with PACs. But for right now, it has been very easy for us just to be volunteers. We can move quickly. We don't, you know, have any sort of federal filing status or anything like that. So really, we have just been focused on results, and then we'll figure out what it is that we're going to be when we grow up. But you asked about our mission. And so we are narrowly focused on fentanyl and crime on our streets. Our mission is essentially to create a safer community for all through the enforcement of our laws. We are advocates for adequate law enforcement staffing and resources, treatment for those in need, and prosecution for criminals that will not abide by our laws.
So there are laws that do mean to protect the public.
Correct.
And business owners such as yourself and me.
Yep.
There are people, though, who are in government for one reason or another, mm-hmm. Know what those laws are, and they fail for whatever reason to abide by the oath they took when they took their office or when they pledged, you know, as just an employee. Mm-hmm. How do you overcome that?
Well, so I think a lot of things happened all at once. You know, we had COVID that occurred, but also at the same time on the street level, we had a genesis from people being addicted to pain pills like oxycodone, Oxycontin, Percocets, all of that. The government cracked down on that supply. People started getting addicted to heroin. Both Oxy and heroin, more expensive, not as available, harder to transport. Fentanyl was always in the wings there, but it really didn't explode onto the scene until really the last few years. And Pima County is ground zero for opioids in the state of Arizona. We lead the state in fatal and non-fatal opioid overdoses.
We're number one.
It is the leading killer of youth in our community. Last year, I know that you saw, Bruce, that our pedestrian fatalities nearly doubled when autopsies were done on the majority of those people. It was found that fentanyl and, in a lot of instances, methamphetamine were in people's bodies. So that contributes to people getting run over. The biggest factor is how cheap and how abundant fentanyl is in our community. Fentanyl goes for $1 to $3 per pill on the street. So it is very cheap. It is not cost prohibitive. Just to give you an example, back years ago in the early teens, one Oxy pill might go for around $30 a pill on the street. So fast forward where we're at now, the abundanceness of it. We've got a nice climate here in Pima County. So people, unfortunately, living on the street is a symptom of severe substance abuse. And we're seeing that a lot in our community. And our weather is a good example of how it's easier to live that lifestyle, the abundance, the cheapness, and the fact that we don't have a tremendous amount of enforcement when it comes to drugs on our streets right now.
So your partners in this are Monica Carlson and Kevin Daly.
Correct.
Talk about why they got involved with this as well.
Oh,
what great. Were their experiences that led to this?
Sure. So Kevin Daly he's a community leader over in the Flowing Wells area. He's been on the school board for 22 years. And what he was experiencing around last June is he was concerned with the amount of urban camping going on in the washes, all of the trash, the drug paraphernalia, everything that was getting into our washes, which obviously leads to our water supply. So he was having conversations with our county administrator, Jan Lesher, as well as at that time, he was emailing the city council and trying to find a way to start to tamp this down because it's a big problem. At the same time, Monica Carlson Nelson. She's in the heating and cooling business. She has a brick and mortar building on the Fort Lowell corridor that has been tremendously impacted by crime in that area. And so she and Kevin got together, and at the same time I was having conversations with Jan Lesher. I sit on the Pima County Small Business Commission. And so it was actually Jan Lesher that put the three of us together. So we always blame Jan for helping create the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. And I'll just mention very quickly, we have a tremendous amount of support from Jan, from the county administration. Deputy Administrator Steve Holmes is almost essentially dedicated to working on this project with us. And then we have tremendous bipartisan support from Supervisor Sharon Bronson, as well as Supervisor Steve Christie. Those are our electeds and our administrators that are very, very focused on seeing what the root cause of the problem is and what steps we can take to find solutions.
So as far as the county's concerned, were they forced to the table because of public outcry, do you think? Was this was this issue something that they were watching patiently and trying to figure out a problem, and they brought you all together to try to figure something out? How did this whole thing come about?
Well, I would say that basically Kevin and Monica just started forcing their way in, you know, to be blunt about it. And so really, as far as the coalition goes, remember I mentioned that we're at over 3,000 people right now. So when we first started having conversations with the county, the mayor, the city council, you know, when it was just a small group of us, we really didn't get much attention. Although county administration was very receptive to what we were doing. As the coalition has grown, and here's a plug for you, Bruce, TucsonCrimeFree.com. That is our website. If anybody wants to get involved with our Tucson Crime Free Coalition, please go to TucsonCrimeFree.com. There's a way that you can enter in your email address and you get our once per week.
It's pretty easy.
It's very easy. We try to make it super, super easy. But realistically, as the coalition has grown and we've been able to consolidate all of the voices of people in our community, being citizens, business owners, property owners, into one megaphone, our electeds have become more and more receptive. So what has happened over time is, as I mentioned, Deputy Administrator Steve Holmes works on this project with us in lockstep. We have weekly meetings with county administration. And then during the week, we also go out and we make contact with business owners, citizens, our law enforcement, being Sheriff's Department or TPD. We have a lot of officers on the front line that give us a lot of information. We also spend time meeting with the electeds that will meet with us, as well as sending emails to the ones that won't, just to try to continue to build that bridge. But we have gotten a real firsthand look at crime and fentanyl on our streets, the way that impacts our community, and then going into our government and the system of all of the, we call them stakeholders, that are at the table for crime reduction. So that would be our electeds, our court systems, our law enforcement, our administration being at the city and the county, as well as the nonprofits, and how all of those pieces can come together to find a regional support in terms of looking for those solutions. Because right now what we're finding is that all of those different entities are very siloed. We're finding inefficiencies in all of those areas. And so our goal is to bring everybody to the table to work on a coordinated plan, because it's not happening right now.
So we've been talking about the county quite a bit, mm-hmm, and the cooperation there, but you haven't talked about the city, either administration or on the city council and mayor's office. Can you talk to that?
Sure. Well, we have met with a lot of the city council members, and we get varying degrees of engagement with the conversation. I will say that the best conversation that we have had is with Council Member Cunningham. We do have meetings with City Administrator Mike Ortega, and we've been building that bridge for a while. I mean, we use quite direct language when we're talking with our electeds, because we have to hold them accountable for enforcing our laws and creating a safer community. And right now, they don't see this as the same urgent situation that we're seeing, or Supervisor Bronson or Christie.
And why do you think that is? What's different in the way that they perceive public safety within the boundaries of the city of Tucson?
You know, that's a really good question.
Because it seems like most of the problems that exist occur within the boundaries of the city of Tucson proper, no?
You're absolutely right. And what makes it even more difficult is we rely on TPD to uphold the laws, but then TPD also has to interact with the Pima County Jail and the court systems, which are underneath of, you know, the county.
Right.
So honestly, Bruce, just to be direct, unfortunately, this situation has become politicized in a lot of different ways. So just to give you some examples of what has been said publicly, for instance, Supervisor Matt Hines has said in meetings that what we are doing is essentially the wrong approach, that people that have severe substance abuse issues and are living on the street and potentially committing crimes, those are our neighbors, and we need to treat them kindly, and we need to go out of our way to make them, you know, more comfortable, because they're living in washes, they're cold, they're tired, they're scared, they're hungry, whatever it might be. We, on the other side, we look at this situation and go, it's not humane to allow people to live this way. So we need to offer treatment for those that are receptive to it. But then in addition to that, we need law enforcement to come in and work on the ones that are not receptive to treatment. There have to be ways to either get people through the use of our legal system into treatment, into shelter, so that they can re-enter our society, or frankly, they're eventually going to want to move on, you know, from Pima County, from the city of Tucson.
So we'll need to take a break here in just a couple of minutes, but how easy is it to be an addict and homeless living in a wash in Tucson, Arizona?
Unfortunately, it's too easy. And what we see is that, I mean, some of these encampments that we go into, and they're fentanyl camps, you know, and that means when we walk through there, people are using drugs right out in the open, and officers can be with us. They know that nothing's going to happen. So it has become really easy, and I hate to say this word because it's not necessarily the right word, but we've allowed people to get too comfortable doing this. And I say that I don't like the word comfort, because when you go into the fentanyl camps, there is nothing comfortable about it. It is a dire situation for these individuals. And when we talk to them, they are so stuck in the substance abuse cycle that they just don't see a way out. And they'll be very candid with us about what it's like to live on the street, or what it is that they have to do to get money, which oftentimes includes committing crimes. They are just so stuck. So we have to be able to offer treatment in a proactive way, use law enforcement to do it in a legal way as well, to break this cycle.
Do they look at what do these individuals who are living in the streets or in the washes, who oftentimes either have mental illness issues or substance abuse issues, do they look at, and I mean no disrespect when I say this, do they look at you and others within the coalition who are working hard to help try to preserve our community?
Sure.
Do they look at you as just a bunch of do-gooders and disregard you?
The people in the encampments?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they ever really consider that. You know, when we go into the encampments, we break down the barrier that we're not law enforcement. We're not there to arrest them. That we're there just to ask them questions and figure out.
And what's their reaction to you? Like, get the F out of here, or or hey, dude, this is really cool, bro. What do you see? What do you hear?
Yeah. So yeah, it is interesting because there's varying degrees of reception. You know, we always treat everybody with a lot of respect. We talk to people the way that we would want to be treated. And again, once we break down that barrier of not being law enforcement, people will be really candid with you. And when you start asking them, hey, you know, so why aren't you getting into services? You know, one of the big things that the listeners should know is that a lot of our nonprofits right now are operating at 50% capacity, 70% capacity. So there are spaces for people to go and get off the streets if they want to and turn their lives around.
So let's take this time, take a real brief time out to pay some bills and make the man happy. When we come back, we'll continue tormenting Josh Jacobson on Tucson Crime Free Coalition. You're listening to Inside Track on KVOI, trusted local news and talk. Remember, no station flipping. We'll be right back. Jamie Kipper and her father, Gary Kipper, from Tucson Iron and Metal. What are they going to see when they come through the gates?
So when they come on in, they'll see our building up front. People have free rein to then go out and look in the yard. So it's not a typical scrapyard with a ton of big machinery. We have a couple of forklifts around, but that's about it, just to help move material. So when you come in, it's all organized by material, whether it's square tubing, angle iron, roofing, and then there is a pile in the back, which is still organized and easy to get through, but that's stuff that comes over from the scrap. So we're unique in that we get stuff in from the scrap, which a lot of artists and people will like or reuse, whether it's a sink that someone needs for their house. We sell literally anything made of metal.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management. Are you letting rising inflation interfere with your ammo budget? Don't do that. Let us show you how to buy the same goods and services 20 years from now as you can today. We manage money for gun owners, and we can guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911 or WilkinsonWealthMGMT.com.
Welcome back to Inside Track. We are continuing tormenting Josh Jacobson from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. We were just talking about Josh has walked within some of the homeless encampments, talked with the people there. Let's talk about the need to try to help people who want to be helped, and also the capacity that does exist within the social service organizations, and how law enforcement might get these individuals who need help to help.
Sure. And I also want to make the important point that not all the crime that's happening in our community by any stretch of the imagination is being done by people that live on the street. I mean, there's a lot of people that are involved in organized retail theft rings, as well as selling of fentanyl. And
that goes back to the fact that we've diminished the police force numbers, and there's not enough manpower out there. The men and women of law enforcement are brave people, particularly when you're understaffed and you're running from call to call to call to call.
Right.
So it's not just we shouldn't sort of stigmatize somebody who has these problems as being the perpetrators of some of the most violent crimes that we see and hear about, and vicious crimes all over the place, right?
And the other thing is a lot of the people that are in the drug and crime trade in an organized way, they actually target the people that are in severe substance abuse and living on the street, because they can use drugs as a leverage to make them go and commit other crimes.
Right.
Otherwise, you're not going to get your pills. So when we're actually looking at this thing as a whole system. One of the biggest breakdowns we have, Bruce, like you said, we don't have enough law enforcement officers on the street. As a result, the law enforcement officers are having to choose which calls they go to. So that's why you'll see an officer drive right past somebody that might be using fentanyl on the side of the road at the bus stop, like we've all seen.
Right.
You know, fentanyl is a felony charge if you're in possession of one pill. The problem is,
note to self, don't spend too much time at bus stops and don't spend too much time on the free public bus system either.
Well, and you know what? You bring up the buses and the way that they're free, and that plays a huge part in all of this as well.
They have mobility,
and with organized retail theft, we're seeing that individuals have timed the bus schedule so that they can get out of the retail stores with stolen goods to get on the bus and get out of the area before law enforcement can respond. So one of the big issues that we have is that when law enforcement actually does make an arrest, and this could be anybody that has substance abuse issues, they're taken and they either go through pretrial services down at the jail or they go into booking and get booked into jail. Now, what happens down in that area is that with pretrial services, people are in and out in a matter of minutes. The problem is
the revolving door that we hear so much about.
It's the revolving door. And then over at the other side at booking, that actually is another great inefficiency for law enforcement, because there are lines that start in the booking department with officers that keeps officers off the streets as they're waiting to book people in. And we need the officers not to be in the booking department, but to be back out on street. The big thing, though, that happens is that individuals that have substance abuse disorders either go through one of those two doors, booking or pretrial, and then they're back out on the street with really no support, no treatment options. So that's where we have gotten really involved with the county, trying to figure out, okay, how do we expand the footprint of pretrial services, which is a building over next to the jail? This is happening as we talk. We're actually bringing in larger modular buildings so that we can staff that building with what are called navigators. A navigator would be an individual, almost like a concierge.
When you say we define who that is.
Oh, so we would be the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, as well as county administration. The supervisors have already signed off on this project a while ago to get it going, and so county administration is just making it happen.
I'm not sure that people, this is news to me, and if I haven't heard it, probably a lot of other people haven't heard that.
Probably not. This is something that we talk about in our newsletters, but this expanded footprint at pretrial is supposed to be open in June. So the goal there is we have these navigators that would be able to say, okay, Bruce, you clearly have severe substance abuse issues. You're coming out of the legal system. What are your next steps? What are you going to do? And then from there, we could direct you to one of the nonprofits that has beds open. We could offer you, you know, other support and treatment, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if you're in and out of jail in a matter of hours, you're going to go back to doing whatever it was that got you there in the first place. So that is a critical time to offer that mode of support and treatment. So our goal is to get all of the nonprofits filled. So that would be step one. Step two is the transition center that we've been working on for roughly the last 6 months. And that would be over in the old Mission Jail Annex. There's a 50,000 square foot building that's sitting fallow right now. The goal would be to have...
Again, who knew?
Yeah. I mean, it's totally empty.
The county has lots and lots of real estate around town that is absolutely empty and has been for years.
Yes. So this, we've been over to this building several times, and the goal there is to have nonprofits come in to bring their wraparound services, to have detox there, to have short-term shelter there, and to figure out how we can legally make it somewhat custodial, meaning that the courts could use that as some sort of a condition of your release. So you're going to be released on the condition that you're going to go over and you're going to spend time at the transition center to get you sober again, to keep you off of the streets, also to make sure that you come back to
your next... In a 28-day program of sorts?
Something like that, but it would really be getting them ready for the next step to go into the next transitional housing, so that we can effectively move people through this process and get them back being a good participant of our community.
So let's do talk about housing for a second in the you know, short time we have remaining.
Sure.
So we've had people on the show recently that talk about how housing first is such a bad idea. Tell us where you're at with housing first.
What we say is we want housing with accountability. So any sort of housing that doesn't have treatment or support as a number one focus of the housing, we're not supportive of it. We don't want to see situations, and we have this going on in parts of our community right now.
Well, the city wants to basically take somebody who was, you know, in a homeless encampment or found, you know, drugged out on whatever, and get them into an apartment.
Right.
That's not, without treatment, I mean, that's not the way to do it, is it?
No, that's how you create a giant trap house.
Right.
And that's happened in our community already. We know of certain properties that are catering to people that simply are not following through with treatment. What's happening is you see that there's law enforcement all the time. It's bad for the community around it, right? Because the crime spills out all sure. around it. But really, you don't have to look any further than a place like Estevan Park, which is one of our largest encampments in town. It's got roughly 50 residents, and that's what it is. It is a bunch of people living together doing drugs, and there's crime, and it's destroyed the neighboring community.
So you could be, I'm guessing, in your 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You operate a successful business. Lots of guys like you, you're a good looking guy.
Well, okay? Thank you, Bruce. You
know, well spoken. You know, guys like you usually end up in like YPO or, you know, SALC or, you know, in some committee at the University of Arizona. Why did you and Carlson and Daly, why did the three of you decide to do this and not something that might bring more patting on your back and congratulatory handshakes and glad handing? This is tough stuff.
It is.
You're doing. I mean, you're trying to take over the Borg, okay? And the Borg is constantly trying to assimilate you. Why this, as opposed to something like that? I mean, are you a cause guy? Where does this come from?
Well, so I am a member of SALC and lots of other groups, but I will say this. Working with Kevin Daly and Monica Carlson on this project, this has been the most fulfilling project to work on, because I'll be critical of a lot of the organizations that I'm on. For me and my perspective, sometimes they move too slow.
Yeah.
And
so you're trying to do the pushing and controlling that pace as best you can.
We are pushing hard, and as a result, we have had support from SALC on one of our calls to action, which is one of the ways that we get information out to the community. But our goal is to make this into a project that the entire community can get behind. Who's going to say no to, we need a safer community? We deserve better. All of our citizens in this community need a good place to live, and we're not seeing that happen right now.
We have a caller, Paul, who's waiting on the line. Paul, we only have about 2 minutes before we need to get to our next guest and the commercial break. Do you have some comment for Josh Jacobson?
Yes, I do. It'll only take 15 seconds.
Okay.
I pay a lot of taxes in Arizona, mm-hmm. in this county. I don't understand how this fellow you have on as your guest is so well informed, and yet our elected leaders and their representatives in our government have no clue of how to run these programs. Why in the world is it so easy? Why can't this guy just tell the government what to do?
That's a good question. Let's let Josh answer the question. And if you would, talk for just a second in our remaining moments about the extra tax that business owners and property owners are having to pay because of all these problems.
Well, real quick, thank you so much, Paul. And what I'll say about our coalition is that we are extremely hands-on. We look at this from a holistic way, and we have embedded embedded ourselves into every part of this picture as it relates to fentanyl and crime reduction. And it's not easy. It's very complicated. It takes a lot of time. So thank you very much, Paul, for your kind comments. And I'll say, you know, if everyone would do what I would say, including my wife and my kid, my life would be a lot easier. But Bruce, about the crime tax, and this is a very serious situation.
It is.
Because when you live in a community that has high crime the way that we do, there's a crime tax that is assessed on all of us. We all pay more for car insurance, homeowners insurance, renters insurance, business insurance. We pay more for goods and services because the businesses that come under harm from crime.
You mean like the fries at on First Avenue that somebody decided to take down
the
bread issuers or the bread line?
Yep. Yeah, you know, all of these costs that businesses have to absorb, they're passed on to the community.
Sure.
And so that's the form of crime tax. The other thing that happens is we get decreased economic development because firms and large employers, they don't want to move their companies to towns that have high amount of crime. So it hurts us. So we are all paying a crime tax right now for not having a safe community. And as Paul said, we're already taxed to death. We don't need any more costs put on us.
You know, it's interesting. Before we started the show, Josh and I were talking about this crime tax, and I was assessing it really just in terms of extra security costs that we pay and maybe some damages. But it's these other sort of intangibles, whether it's insurance or you know, pricing in food markets and what have you, we're all paying this tax.
That's right. And as business owners, another part of the crime tax occurs when my employees are put in situations that they don't like.
Yep.
And that really upsets business owners.
And people aren't able to hire people to come and work for them.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us, Josh. Keep the pressure up. Yep. We must become a safer city to live in and work. Tucson Crime Free Coalition is a force for good. Tell us again how listeners can find out about the coalition and make a difference.
TucsonCrimeFree.com. Sign up to get our email. We do not share your email addresses with anybody. It is ours. It is confidential. Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thank you, Josh. You're a good guy.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Best to Diane and to Kevin. In a moment, we'll hear from Phil Kirpin from American Commitment. But before we do that, we'll take a quick break to pay some bills and hear from our show supporters. No station flipping. We'll be right back. I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management reminding you that every good and excellent thing stands moment by moment on the razor's edge of danger and must be fought for, including getting out of debt, building your wealth, and protecting your God-given right. We manage money for gun owners. Let us help you retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me at 777-1911 or WilkinsonWealthMGMT.com.
Right, we're back. We're having a little problem with our guest, Phil Kirpin. Unfortunately, we're not able to reach him. Maybe there's a problem. But that won't stop us. We have plenty of stuff to talk about. Josh is still hanging here if he wants to hang around and take any calls for folks that that might be interested and call in. Josh, this has been a very interesting past couple of weeks. You've been watching some of the things going on nationally.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure. And we find ourselves in a situation right now with this banking crisis. How have any of your friends been impacted by what's going on?
Well, you know, my wife is in the financial game.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's does talk to me about, yeah, you know, we need to watch this banking situation as it's been unfolding. And she's definitely got several clients that have been paying attention to this for a long time. So, you know, people that might have thought, you know, the banks are too big to fail, they're not going to do it again. Those are the folks that have been really savvy to continue paying attention to this.
Mm-hmm. We saw a report just this morning in the Arizona Daily Star. Migrant numbers dropping at U.S.-Mexico border under Biden policies. Do you believe those? Do you believe that information? Or are we getting fed a bunch of BS?
You know, I was down in Cochise County recently with Sheriff Daniels, and one of the things that he said, because you know he is a border sheriff, he was saying in Cochise County that the cartels are the largest employer right now, and he quantifies that by the fact that he's had 1,500 people go through his jail last year that were arrested in drug or human trafficking charges. So no, I don't believe that, especially when I talk to guys down on the front line, or I mean it's just not hard to see it with your own eyes.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know. It's either them lying or our lying eyes.
Yep.
One or the other. We have Charles Heller calling in. Charles, go ahead.
A caller earlier, Paul, brought up something very prescient about why is it that the political class can't see what Josh can see clearly. Josh and his co-founders of the organization, and the reason is, you know, I know Josh wants to deal with these people and probably can't be as harsh. But I don't, and so I'll just tell you it's the rectal cranial inversion suffered by most of the left in this country that doesn't want to see reality. They're so concerned with feelings that they're not very dipped in reality. They're dipped in something else we won't mention on the radio. But
Charles, do you think that some of these leaders in elected positions are playing to their base, who don't want to believe that there is a problem at the border, or who don't want to believe that there's a problem with homelessness and violence and excessive crime here in our area?
Well, I think, first of all, it's a misnomer to call them leaders.
Okay, elected officials.
No, I call them hired help.
Oh, they are the hired help. I completely agree.
Hired help, and that phrase is not mine originally. It's Duke Schechter's to give credit. But the point is, though, that they're not interested in solving problems. They're interested in maintaining power. And the only thing they understand is pain and pleasure. And pain is defined as costing them money and publicity. And pleasure is gaining them money and votes. So I think that if you look at the throttle in that respect, if you look at it as increasing or decreasing the throttle, increasing your throttle means it costs them more. And what you need to do is cost them more in both money and in publicity and in public trust. And I think anything you can do to upend the public trust of people who don't act properly is a really good investment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll listen to your response. And I realize you may have to nuance it because you have to deal with these snollygosters.
I think from their perspective, I'm the snollygoster.
I've never heard that term before.
Neither have I, but I'm going to roll with it. Hopefully we just didn't break a radio law for being on the air. But, you know, one of the things that we're doing with the Tucson Crime Free Coalition is Monica Carlson spends a lot of time going out in the community and talking to business owners and citizens specifically on the South Side. And what we're really trying to do is educate people on the way that their needs are not being met are a direct result of bad policies that have been pushed on our community that mean that we've got less officers on the street, that mean that we are not enforcing laws because they can understand that their windows are getting broke, their businesses are being damaged, they're being stolen from. But a lot of people don't understand that it's our electeds that actually set the tone for policing in our community. So we're spending a lot of time trying to educate people on why it's important to pay attention to who our leaders are. We do a lot of presentations in the community right now about what our project is. And one of the things that we always ask is, by show of hands, how many people live in the city limits? And normally it's about half the group. And then we'll say, by show of hands, how many people know that there's an election this year? And that number,
0.0.
A lot of times it's surprising how few of people are engaged. So, you know, again, we are nonpartisan. We just want to see our community thrive. So we'll work with any elected that wants to come to the table. But at the same time, we need to have a community that's more engaged on what impacts their daily lives.
So Lori Lightfoot lost her reelection in Chicago. The first mayor in 40 years, a mayor seeking re-election in 40 years, who failed to achieve that goal. There are two people who are going to vie for in a runoff election. One of them is a teachers union advocate, and the other is maybe got a little clearer picture of wanting to help reduce crime and make that city safer than what it's been. What percentage of Tucsonans, people who can vote in the city of Tucson, do you feel really believe there's a crime problem?
Well,
do you have to be white and living above, let's say, Speedway Boulevard, and east of Swan Road and north of River Road to not believe there's a problem? Because anybody who lives in those other areas, I can't imagine that they don't feel safe as they did 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, you know, anecdotally, we speak to a lot of people in the community, and the people that might not really identify what is going on generally are people that don't go past or don't go south of River Road. And so part of our presentation is we bring in a slideshow and we show people all, you know, what our community looks like. Broken windows, people knotted off on the side of the road. And then it's kind of eye-opening to them. But when we're talking to people in the community, including my staff, I was talking to one of my guys yesterday that's been with me for several years, and he rides the bus to get to work. And this is a guy that he knows.
That's taking his life in his hands these days.
And this gentleman, he knows his way around the streets. And he was saying to me, because they always ask about, you know, the Crime Free Coalition, what we're doing. He was saying, you know what? I am so mad that the buses are for free. Here I am. I am trying to take a bus to get to work because I have a job, I have responsibilities, and I have to be at the front of the bus because the back of the bus isn't safe. I don't deserve to be put in that type of situation. And they said, and then when I get off the bus, people are constantly coming up to me asking me if I have drugs to sell or if I want to buy drugs. It's like, I'm just trying to get to work. This is unacceptable. So that's a guy that rides the bus. Then when we talk to business owners that are dealing with it, we talk to, you know, just individual citizens and property owners. Everybody has different versions of the same story that see this going on. Now, there are people in the community that just take a different approach and they think that we should just let people live however they want to live. And again, we don't think that that's humane. We think that that is just enabling people to eventually kill themselves.
Is there a certain sense of denial amongst some? I mean, I would find it very difficult to ignore somebody who is lying down sleeping on a bus bench all night long if I pass by on the street. I have empathy for that person. And why would I want my fellow neighbor to be living under those kinds of conditions?
Well, so one,
and just drive past him and think that this problem doesn't exist, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, you could take the approach that we hear and just throw your hands up in the air and say, well, this is happening all across the country. It's not unique to us. Well, if that's true, then we have a bigger problem, but we can only control what we can in Pima County and the city of Tucson. So you're absolutely right, Bruce. I mean, it's not empathetic to let people, you know, whether or not they are living on the streets or if they have a home, be in such severe substance abuse cycles where they can't be productive. You know, we've got a low workforce participation rate in this community.
We do. Yeah.
You know, that's a problem. We know that we have people that are migrating here because of, you know, the drug trade. That's a problem. So we have to start addressing these things rather than just letting things go by, trying to paint a rosy picture, which I think a lot of our electeds are. You know, recently we were just reading that Mayor Romero wants to work on crime and trying to make the business climate and the community safer. Well, we see a lot of mixed messages with that statement. You know, if she's going to come out and say that, then she also has to create the pathway to do it. And it's not just, as you said in the last segment, building or buying or acquiring new apartments and hotels to simply put a roof over people's heads, because you're not getting to the root cause of crime.
Well, and I think you've laid it out for the coalition. It's not just about law enforcement. It's also about helping those who want to be helped.
Right.
And then forcing the issue, if need be, into incarceration if necessary.
Well, if you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law. You know, I mean, it's as simple as that. We've gotten to the point, and this has been difficult, we've gotten to the point where we pick and choose which laws we want to enforce. And that's a slippery slope.
Tom has Ingrid, is she want to talk or just?
I wanted to call this.
Real quick, Ingrid, too. We're right up against it.
Not forced treatment, but because these people are breaking the law, doing what they're doing and intruding on other people's property and so forth, defecating, we need to bring them in, arrest them, and keep them in a facility that's not exactly like a prison, but where they can get treatment, where people will come mm-hmm. and give them treatment directly right there, and there'll be armed guards there. It'll be managed like a prison. They're not to go out until they pay their dues for the crimes.
Well, Ingrid, we're going to have to leave it right there. Josh will be back with us sometime very soon. I hope that you're a great listener, and I really do appreciate your interest in the show. Please, let's bring Josh back on soon. I want to talk more about this and really make it as much a community discussion as possible. So thank you. Josh, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. Always a pleasure.
And insiders, thanks for joining us. Please check out my Facebook and Twitter accounts for the latest news and my views on the news. All of our Inside Track episodes are available at Apple Podcasts and on the KVOI website. Until next week, when we chat with author Chris Gorm about his new book, The Confidant, for Inside Track, this is Bruce Ash.
And Josh Jacobson.
Wishing you all a very pleasant good afternoon. We'll meet again together in 167 hours. And hey, it's baseball season.
Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
A lot of the cities and the counties around have initiatives for artists. And I think we're one of the premier artist suppliers for steel. First Saturday of every month, you can come down early and actually go through the scrap yard across the street. It's 7 acres of metal. You can walk through with our people and pick out what you want. It's always interesting to see what the artists have done. We've done actually a couple projects with the U of A Engineering Department and Music Department, where the engineering music students came down together. They had to pick something out of the scrap, and they had to build an instrument. And we have one of those in front of the plant. Some really cool things come out of the scrap.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard. 701 East 36th Street, open Monday through Saturday.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management. Are you letting rising inflation interfere with your ammo budget? Don't do that. Let us show you how to buy the same goods and services 20 years from now as you can today. We manage money for gun owners, and we can guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me Eb Wilkinson at 777-1911 or WilkinsonWealthMGMT.com.